All right, let's get started. The last few days we've been talking about the differences between Christ in you and you in Christ, and how that's a long time. It takes a long time. It takes us to find out. We have to find out this incredible thing that a redeemed self, saved from the world self, born again self, regarded dead self, as independent from God, is an illusion. We must be cornered, done in, beat up, until we apprehend that which has apprehended us, or which we've tried to apprehend. And so, and this is just another battle of the mind. There's either union, you're either one in Him, you dead, or there's nothing else that God desires. That's why His Son died and rose from the dead, and why His Son is in us. We knew, have known reconciliation, now we must know union, that we are never again separate, our separate selves. We look at ourselves different, we look at the world different, we look at everything different. We finally understand what James said. He said, friendship with the world is enmity of God. He who's a friend of the world is an enemy of God. It also says, go to 2 John a minute, since my mind isn't working. We're just going to stay there a second, but verse 14, I've written unto you, fathers, because you have known Him, or been with Him from the beginning. I have written unto you, young men, because you are strong, and the word of God abideth in you, and you have overcome the evil one. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. We're not separate ever again. There's union. You're not separate from God doing your thing. There's union. There's Christ in you, you in Christ. Well, let's look at John 14. That's Big John. Verse 20. At that day you shall know that I am in my Father, you in me, and I in you. No separate. Nothing separate. And you lose care for yourself or about yourself or what you're going to do next or anything else. You just live because it's Him that's living in you. But this thing about the world is big. I mean, I read a bunch of stuff yesterday that I shouldn't have read on the internet. I think I'm going to blow up the internet. No, I'm just kidding. But the idea, it's all these Christians arguing about the present presidential election. They're just consumed with the world. It just makes me, I get so mad I can't even. I don't understand it. Jesus said, I and the Father are one of myself. I can do nothing. The Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the work. Now you have to add you to that, because it's Christ is your only life. You have to be able to say, I and my Father are one. Of myself, I can do nothing. Paul wrote, I live, yet not I that liveth, but Christ that liveth in me. One we study often, Galatians 2:20. Let's go there. Verse 18, chapter 2 of Galatians. Give, we're down to a page. Redondo. I'm sorry.
12:11.
Fernando, not Redondo.
You can call me any. Redundant.
I don't mind. Call me.
A little redundant.
Redondo.
That's cool.
For if I build again the things which I destroyed, I make myself transgressor. For through the law I am dead to the law, that I might live unto God. I am crucified with Christ, and nevertheless I live, yet not I that lives, but Christ liveth in me. And now, the next verse, the life I... That I has to be a new dimension. The I is now Christ. Because it just said you were dead. He alone lives. Yet not I that liveth, but Christ. Liveth in me, and the life which now I live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. We don't even concern ourselves by whether what we do is faith. We just be. I do not frustrate the grace of God. Not Christ dying for you, not Christ near you, not Christ separate from you or God, but Christ living his life. In this case, it was Christ in Paul's form. But no more Paul. Paul is dead. No more you. You're dead. Can't use any of the things, if you use your mind for anything, then all of a sudden what happens? You've resurrected the evil one. Now, as we said, this takes a long time. You have to be cornered and go through crazy things until you know that you know that you know you no longer live. You're not, the I is never you. It must be an inner reality. And that inner reality comes by repentance. You've heard me say this 1,000 times, but I'll say it again. There is no greater humility than the Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And His Christ's humility in you is He does not occupy where you are. He can't. Once this is fully comprehended, it never leaves you. You still screw up. There's still repentance. But it's not repentance for what I did. It's repentance for returning to me. Who am sin? Who are sin? Let's go to Ephesians 3. Next verse over from Galatians. It's right next to Galatians, where you just were. Give them a page number.
1217.
Thank you.
This is the second of those two great prayers in Ephesians. Verse 11, according to the eternal purpose which He purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of Him. Wherefore I desire that you faint not at my tribulation for you, which is your glory. And for this cause I bow my knee unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell, and again in Greek it says that Christ may fully dwell in your inner man by faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. So there's no more room for you. Everybody see this, I hope, and pray. So you never again look from the bottom up. The reason you look from the bottom up is you are still there. Christ is on the mercy seat. You want to be in Him. And Him in you. On the mercy seat. You remember what that's called? Where is that? First Peter? Let's go to First Peter. Chapter 4, verse 11. Somebody give Fernando a page number. Somebody that's there.
1263 or 1262.
If any man speak, let him speak as the oracle of God. Some translations say that you may, if any man speak, let him speak as from the oracle of God. Same thing. The oracle of God is that place on the mercy seat under the wings of the cherubim. And if you speak from there, then the component of eternity is always in you. And there's no thought or anything important that is subject to time, because time is gone in you. Now you are on the mercy seat. But you have to, the only way to get there is to repent from everything else. There's no, never again I ought to, or I should. Or we're no longer in any way debtors to the flesh. We owe the flesh this garment of the flesh nothing. If something comes up, all you do is transfer your consciousness of this, of whatever stress, to the consciousness of who you really are, Christ in me. Then light swallows up darkness. Spirit counteracts flesh. And Christ is magnified in my body. This is what it means to live by faith. Christ is all and in all. Not I becoming, not I containing. It's all gone. Because there's no more I. I am the earthenware vessel. All of you is that vessel, the best it can be. It has to be earthenware, because if it was a vessel of glass or some other, some other material, then it would be polluted. But the earthenware vessel breathes. The vessel doesn't consider or worry about anything or give any breath to his past. You no longer confront flesh battles. They're meaningless. All the promises of God are in him, yea, and in him, amen. Because all the promises of God are connected with Jesus Christ. And sure, since he's in you and you in him, everything is either yea and amen. Now, if you have a temporary transfer or recognition of flesh, or the outer pull of the flesh, you just transfer that to the true recognition of who you are. Christ in Benny form, in Gary form. And so whenever you have an issue, we used to do this all the time. I probably haven't talked about it for a long time. But I am hungry. Who's the I? Christ is hungry. I am whatever. I am confused. No longer I. Christ isn't confused. This is what I'm going to do with my life. Christ didn't want anybody, what is he going to do with his life? It's no longer you that liveth, but Christ that liveth in you.
I don't understand a word you just said.
Huh?
Huh?
I didn't hear you.
I don't understand it. What you mean? You're not hungry because Christ isn't hungry?
Right. But you don't ever again give yourself any recognition.
So you never eat again?
the younger you eat. You don't think about it. You don't worry about it. You don't even worry where it's coming from. If you're hungry, you eat.
It's not going to just appear in front of you.
What?
It does.
Sometimes.
No, it does.
Well, that's why, no. That's why the afkamen that we say on Passover, we should say it before we ever eat anything solid or drink a liquid. Blessed art thou, Lord our God, King of the universe, who bringeth forth what?
Bread.
Bread. The bread of life from the earth. That's Christ. And anything you drink. And I do it automatically now. I do it internally. If I drink coffee, either before or right after I say it, I say, blessed art thou, Lord our God, King of the universe, who createst the fruit of the vine. The fruit of the vine is the bride. Bringing bread from the earth is Christ. There's nothing else. That's what every word in the Bible is created for. The marriage supper of the bride. When that becomes your only consciousness. The marriage supper of the bride. And the spirit swallows up the flesh, but not if you don't let it. We just read, this isn't something that's automatic. It's the battle. But it's the battle of your mind, with your mind. You cast down every high place, every imagination. Bring into captivity every single thought to the obedience of Christ. But we all try to keep ourselves in the picture. No longer I that liveth, but me I do. You, by your actions, you still live. We momentarily return to the flesh. The shed blood of Christ removes that sin, because that's what it is, sin. You are sin. We are then more than conquerors through him that loved us. Then we can truly meet other people's needs. And it comes without thinking about it. It's not a program, it's a life. It's not an agenda, it's a life. This is the victory that overcometh the world. Even our faith. But not you having faith in Christ. It's Christ in you having faith. And when that happens, then you transfer your identity as a poor vessel to who you really contain. There's no more separation. But you have to allow it to happen. And you allow it by repentance from everything else. Then you're crucified to the world, and the world is crucified unto you. And it's not something you try to do, it's just what happens. This is what it means, looking from the top down. Instead of the bottom up. You can't look from the top down as long as your identity is yourself. Because your mind cannot comprehend, nor can it live in eternity. Eternity isn't a long, long time. It's no time at all. Let's go to Revelation 10 real quick.
Verse 1.
Everybody there? And I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven, clothed with a cloud, and a rainbow was upon his head. And his face was as it were the sun, and his feet as pillars of fire. And he had in his hand a little book open. And he set his right foot upon the sea, and his left foot upon the earth, and cried with a loud voice, as when a lion roareth. And when he had cried, seven thunders uttered their voices. And when the seven thunders had uttered their voices, I was about to write. And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, seal up those things which the seven thunders uttered, and write them not. Now I believe what they couldn't write, what he couldn't write, was who the Antichrist is. He couldn't write that each one of us is the Antichrist. We can never get peace. Our existence makes us the instead of Christ. Anti doesn't mean again there. Remember, it's the instead of. That's what the... You, who is the instead of Christ? And you, the temple of God. You are. The number is 666, and it's the number of man, not a man, as it says. Does anybody doubt they're the evil one? Well, that's not what we're studying. And the angel which I saw stand upon the sea and upon the earth lifted up his hand to heaven, and swear by him that liveth forever and ever, who created heaven and the things therein, that are therein, and the earth and the things that are there, that therein are, and the sea and the things which are there, are therein, that there should be time no longer. When you remove time, then everything in the universe has to pass through this dot that's smaller than your eye can see, including you. And it's time is no more, because the mystery of the bride is completed, as if you look down a verse or two. Why couldn't the Antichrist be revealed directly in the scriptures? Because then there wouldn't have been the same test as Son of Man that there was in Christ. The same test as Son of Man has to take place in you, and when you see your total hopelessness, then you are baptized, dead. You're buried in baptism. And then when you're the resurrected one is Christ in you, and then that Christ in you must continue with him in his temptation, as I've talked about often. That's when you go outside the camp. That's when... I mean, can you see that... I've talked about this. This is a situation that's the enemy of every form of thought and every philosophy in the universe. That's why all men will hate you. Well, we'll go back to Jude now, God wills, on Monday. Everybody understand perfectly? Everybody understand a little bit?
Yeah.
All right, take it, big guy.